Listen carefully, my child, to my instructions, and attend to them with the ear of your heart. This is advice from one who loves you. Welcome it faithfully and put it into practice. These are not my words, but the words of Saint Benedict. They are the first words of what he called his simple rule for beginners, and what has become known worldwide as the Rule of Benedict. And as today is Religious Life Sunday, and we are here in this church that bears his name, it feels fitting that we would begin today with the words of the remarkable Saint Benedict. And as we explore today a bit of religious life expressed by monks and nuns around the world, what better way to begin the conversation than with the one who is known as the father of Western monasticism? A loving father, a simple message, a design for living, which gives high importance to community, humility, and spiritual and personal growth, all offered in the framework of a simple rule for beginners. It's no wonder that Benedict's rule has endured throughout the ages. Since its inception in the early 6th century, the Rule of Benedict, with its spiritual framework of stability, conversion of life, and obedience, has been the guiding inspiration for almost every religious order that has been founded and developed over the past 1,500 years. Today, there are 20 Episcopal religious orders throughout the United States and Canada, and all, including our own Community of Divine Love, are part of CORROA, the Conference of Anglican Religious Orders in the Americas. And we are also part of a wider web of monastic orders throughout the world from other Christian affiliations. So as you hear the people of Saint Benedict's carry the banner of the beloved Saint Benedict, know that you are part of a long, rich history of monasticism. But no pressure. Traditional monastic communities, including our own, live under the vows of voluntary poverty and celibacy. At our house of prayer, we pray the Divine Hours 3 times a day and celebrate Holy Eucharist every Wednesday morning. We also place high value on worship, meditation, silence, study, and ministry with the marginalized, particularly for us, our ministry with the incarcerated brothers and sisters. And these practices are directly connected with our search for God. And through them, we express our spiritual values as we live out our commitment to God. The reasons people are called to monastic life in a religious community are varied. But what we all have in common is a deep yearning for the fidelity to God. For me personally, I entered this life because although I didn't fully understand what this longing was about, I had a strong sense that I needed some sort of structure that could lead me to a fuller awareness of who I am and where I was being called. That's when, in 2002, I found the Mount Calvary Monastery in Santa Barbara and the brothers there, and became an associate, also referred to as an oblate, of the Order of Holy Cross. 6 years later, I met Sister Greta, only to learn that she too was in a similar relationship as a fellow with the Society of St. John the Evangelist in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And we too shared the same deep longing for God. And so, taken under the wing of the Brothers of Holy Cross, we began our monastic life, and we continue to this day. Today we hear the story of others who long ago were called by Jesus as he walked along the shore of Galilee. I can imagine hearing his voice. The voices sound different from the shore of a sea, right? I can imagine what it sounded like. When he said, James, John, Andrew, Peter, come. Follow me. Hearing those words float to the men in the boat. Imagine being there and hearing that voice of Jesus calling those men as they sat together in the boat with their father. But the thing that really stands out for me in this story is the immediacy of the men's response. It says that upon hearing the invitation from Jesus, they immediately dropped what they were doing, got up, and went to him. Not only leaving behind their livelihood as fishermen, but for James and John, leaving behind their father as well. What was it that compelled them to such an immediate and sure response to this stranger standing at the water's edge? I don't have the answer to that question, but I think it should inspire us to think about our own call to follow Jesus. What was it like for each of us? What was our response? And how is that response continuing to unfold in our lives? There's no doubt that religious orders are a gift not only to the church, but to the world. The stable, prayerful presence of monastic communities, large and small, offer a grounding place for all. During times of upheaval, many people find their way to monastic communities to find their balance and a sense of recentering. These are sacred spaces of hospitality that can help one make sense of what's happening in the world around them. This has been true throughout history of the church, and it is true today. Monastic communities stand at the center of our world as a sanctuary space where people can come to pray, to be in silence, and avail themselves to spiritual wisdom and find clarity and peace, that peace that surpasses all human understanding. But it's important today to note that one does not need to formally enter a monastic community in residence as a monk or a nun under the more strident vows that I mentioned earlier to reap the benefits of monastic sensibilities. The monastic heart beats within all of us. Each of us has the mystical stream within us that will lead us into union with the divine. It is what Sister Joan Chittister describes as the monastery of the heart. We all have it. We all have this habit wrapped around your heart. Each of us can claim our own monastic heart and develop a spiritual design for living as our own personal rule of life. And if you need some help with that, there are those, including our community of divine love, that will assist you. So when Jesus says, follow me, he was speaking not only to the four who were out there fishing that day, he was speaking to all of us. And yes, he speaks with urgency. The time is at hand to discover or rediscover the kingdom of heaven that lives within us. And we too should respond with immediately. Not only is there no time like the present, but why would we want to wait when the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Maybe that's what those fortunate four knew intuitively that day on the shore of Galilee. The stranger on the shoreline was no stranger, and the invitation was to enter the kingdom of heaven right here, right now, with no hesitation. And so it is with us every day, every moment of our lives. The kingdom of heaven is unfolding within us. This is the invitation of Jesus. Follow me. I want to end today with the evening gatha from our Buddhist brothers and sisters. And they pray this: life and death are of supreme importance. Time swiftly passes by and opportunity is lost. We should all strive to awaken. Awaken. Take heed. Do not squander your life.